Hello and welcome to When Wrestlers Act. I'm John Cronshaw and I'm joined again by my good friend Colin Cox. We've just watched The Running Man.
It's great.
It is great. I'm not going to ask you how you are today because we've just watched The Running Man.
So I know I'm great.
Feeling good. Yeah, we've just seen...
So hello, John.
So we've just watched basically loads of mindless violence, some cutting satire... And Arnold Schwarzenegger delivering his lines like Tommy Wiseau. From the start of this film, you get a little intro. It tells you when it's set. And it's set in a distant future. In the year 2017. So, I mean, we're recording this now in 2015. Just imagine, Colin, in 2 years' time, this is what it's going to be like.
Is this after hoverboards have gone out of fashion?
Exactly. The future that they've got, I mean, this was predicted 30 years ago, was that television is all-encompassing. Not true. There's going to be a big economic crash, strangely prophetic, and people, their favourite show is people killing each other.
I'm sure if that was on our TV, people would watch it.
Yeah, I think what's quite interesting is you go into this film and it suddenly clicks. Battle Royale.
Yes.
Series 7, The Contenders. Hunger Games. They would be nothing without The Running Man.
They would
not exist without The Running Man.
It's just got lots of wonderful little horrible things in it, or like the advert for the TV programme Climbing for Dollars.
Yeah.
Where a bloke's climbing a rope, grabbing wads of money with some angry dogs at the bottom.
It's brilliant.
And they get sprayed in the face with gas and falls off.
It's perfect satire.
Shall we just watch it again?
We could just watch it again, but then that would be no fun for the people listening. Well. But then maybe we should just go, you know, listeners, don't bother listening to us talk about this film. Go and watch it yourself. So thanks for listening and cheerio. Yeah, so the film opens up and you have Arnold Schwarzenegger in a helicopter with some very roided up men. And there's a food riot going on because obviously the economy's crashed, so people are hungry. He gets a call on his radio. You've got to shoot those innocent people. They're unarmed. You've got to shoot them.
But this is the babyface army.
Yeah. And he goes, no, no, God damn it. I can't do that. They're unarmed. They're innocent. They're just hungry. God damn it. And so they go, right, you've got to arrest him.
So they arrest him and hit him with a gun.
And he hangs out of a helicopter for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he gets brought back in. They're going to kill him, but they go, no. They said to detain him, not kill him.
Not drop him.
So that was good.
So then they go and proceed with his orders and kill about 100 people.
We then cut to, essentially, Arnie. He's in prison, basically doing hard labour.
With a Daniel Bryan beard.
Yeah, and is it a steel mill kind of thing? There seems to be lots of furnaces around.
Well, lots of rugged, to my sweaty notes, men. It's like watching The Pit in Fallout 3.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah, basically a steel mill.
Yeah.
As I said, you know.
But with people forced to move bits of steel around for seemingly no reason.
He was carrying a big girder. So then it ends up that there's a group of people within this prison who were part of the rebellion, and they want to overthrow whatever's in charge, which seems to be the TV network, the Running Man guys, whatever they're called.
Yes.
What is it, the start a prison riot? There's someone working on deactivating these codes for this fence. And
one person jumps the gun.
He does, and he's got one of those exploding collars.
Just like in The Pit in Fallout 3.
Just like in Fallout 3, just like in Battle Royale, where if you go out of the range, your head will blow off. So Chico's head blows off. We learn his name.
Yes, he has a name and a line.
And a backstory and everything. We get a big emotional attachment, and then he gets killed off straight away. It's just like watching Game of Thrones.
I'll take your word for that. I think I'm the only person in the world who's never watched Game of Thrones.
We then cut to... It's the kite of Fleetwood Mac.
Yes, it's Mr. Mick Fleetwood.
Yeah, he's there. He's heading the rebellion. I hope he... Because he seems to be... Does he get referred to as Mick Fleetwood or Mick or...
His name is Mick.
Brilliant. So it's the kite of Fleetwood Mac. As himself, he's the leader of the rebellion. I like that. It's like in that, I think it was called American Horror Story, maybe. There was, what was her name? Who's the other one out of the Fleetwood Macs? The lady.
Oh, Stevie.
Stevie Nicks. So Stevie Nicks is in it as herself, as a witch.
Was Mick Fleetwood ever a wrestler?
I don't know.
I mean, he's 6'6".
He kind of looks like he could be. He's certainly got the height, hasn't he, and the hair.
And the hair and the beard.
They're in Los Angeles and they're part of the Underground Network. I don't know, they're a bit ambivalent, aren't they, about Arnold Schwarzenegger being there. They're like, well, you were a bad person.
Yeah, I mean, the two who he helped get out of prison have come round to him, but he's still dubious, and rightly so.
So we go around Los Angeles, and it's essentially a shanty town. People are living in what looks like, basically looks like what Mexico, the edge of Mexico City looks like today.
Isn't it what the edge of California looks like anyway?
Probably. It wasn't a satire, it's just a documentary. Basically, Arnie wants to get out of the city. That's his mission. He says he's not into politics, he's into survival. I think that means he didn't want to be part of the rebellion. He just wanted to get out of there, save his ass. So he's not going to be part of the rebellion, it seems. Wonder if that comes back later.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Well, we know. We've just watched it.
God, you're just rubbish at building up suspense, aren't you, Colin? So then we get... It appears to be a bit like a president or some well-beloved celebrity arriving. It ends up that it's the producer of The Running Man.
And also the host.
Yeah.
And the creator.
And so he goes through all these loving fans and he's charming and he walks through and he accidentally, I think he bumps into a guy who's mopping.
Yeah.
And
basically says, fire that man. But once he's got round the corner.
Yeah, so to the guy's face, he's like, oh, you're doing a great job.
Keep it up.
Yeah. And then, as soon as he's round the corner, he's just like, sack him. if I come back tomorrow and he's still here, someone's going to die. It's established right from the get-go that he's not a nice person.
He's a nasty pasty.
He's a nasty man, he is. He's a nasty pasty. Yeah, he's a... I don't know. I'm trying to think of other pastry products that could be evil. He could be an evil...
Well, to me, John, all pastry's evil.
Yes, well. We get a great scene. The first appearance of Jesse Ventura. He's on the telly. He's basically running a exercise video.
And he says... Are you ready for pain? Are you ready for suffering? If the answer is yes, then you need to watch Captain Freedom's workout. I hope this is real.
It's basically 30 years in the future, but it's what, like calinetics or calisthenics, whatever it was called. You know, 1980s exercise, loads of 1980s women. Jesse Ventura with just the best moustache.
I had Jane Fonda in the background.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And there's a Latino lady doing sit-ups watching it. And then all of a sudden, she gets a hand over her mouth.
Huh.
Who is it? It's Arnie.
It's Ben.
Sorry, I can't call him Ben. Ben Richards.
It's a good manly name.
Yeah, and you know that the script writer for this was Benjamin Richardson, don't you? I don't know. I'm making it up. I don't think it was. So So Arnie's basically broken into this flat. He thinks it's his brother's flat.
Yes, he doesn't break in. He uses the code, he gets in legitimately.
Yeah, and then this woman freaks out.
Well, if you've got a 6'3" man who's built like a brick outhouse, and he's in your flat, male or female, in your underwear. You're not going to be very happy.
That's true. And I think it's quite good that at this point we find out that it's 18 months on.
Yes.
And we get a clip of Arnie on the telly and you know that he's a wanted man. Brilliant. So she sees that clip, she freaks out, and then it cuts to the network guys and they're looking for criminals. So then this is where we find out...
The running man is all convicts.
Yeah, so all the people there are bad guys. They're basically looking through the police records. But then they see the video of Arnie escaping from prison.
Running very fast.
Yes, he's a running man. Get it? Yeah, the network guy basically gets a boner. And he's just like, oh my God, we need him. He's our guy. And then there's some weird thing where they're like, oh, well, he's a military prisoner, so...
Yeah, they'll get him for me.
Yeah.
He gets the president's agent.
Yes.
On the phone.
Because he initially wanted to speak to the Justice Department Entertainment Division, which I thought was good.
Yes, that's just brilliant. Yeah.
So, there's a lot of satire in this. I don't know if you can detect it already. It might have a few references to TV... Corruption. It's brilliant. We also find out quite quickly, because the woman's answer phone goes off, that her name's Amber.
Yes.
It's quite a clever way of doing it.
Amber Mendez.
Yes. It's like, we know her name. That's great. So she's tied up. For some reason, Arnie, you know, in a innocent kind of, I just want to get out of here. I'm a nice guy. He's tied up this woman in her own home.
I think that's probably prudent, though. As long as he is never going to do any harm to her, but he does proceed to rob her and hold her hostage.
Yeah, and try and get her through an airport.
But I think he would have let her go once he landed safely in Hawaii.
Yeah, so that's the gimmick anyway. They go to the airport, and Arnie wants to use her travel pass. And like they walk through the airport, and he's trying to make out that they're a couple, and she's looking really kind of surly and pissed off. And she goes, "Oh, I vomit. I'm sick at everything. I get car sick. I get air sick."
There's a line coming up here.
Yes.
Go ahead. It won't show on this shirt.
Yeah. So he's wearing a really horrible shirt. Brilliant. So they go to the check-in desk, and basically the security was very lax then.
It was pretty bad, wasn't it? You don't have to take your shoes off or anything
This is meant to be, dystopian airport. Airport of the future where security and risk are high. And the airport situation now is a lot more stringent than it is in someone's hellish version.
Thank you, Richard Reed, the shoe bomber.
Amber then goes, "Help me, help me. This is the guy who you're after." And so there's a chase, and Arnie ends up out on the runway.
That's what they call it, the tarmac.
Yeah. And all these military police and vans kind of swoop down on
him. And they've got the best gun I've ever seen. It's the one that fires the net on the heavy balls. And I want one of those.
Yes.
Don't know what I'd do with it, but I just want one.
Well, you'd bag you an Arnie, wouldn't you? next time Arnold Schwarzenegger's in Leeds, doing a talk at the Ellen Road, you can just go with one of them guns. And he'd know how to deal with it. He's got experience. Next we get Arnie. He's in the office of Damon Killian.
Killian.
Great name. Yeah, so Killian, if we've not established it already, is the bad guy. He's a bad, bad man.
Yeah. So they inject him with all these, like, tracking things and various things that I think they only use just to know where he is in the game zone.
Yeah, and he gets sprayed with a lot of dry ice.
Yeah, for whatever reason.
Yeah, and basically, it's the people who he escaped from prison with. They've got them as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because it's like a ransom. You do it or they're going
to
do it.
Yeah. So he has to make a choice. It's like, well, this skinny teacher guy, he's 120 pounds, so what's the choice? And so Arnie agrees, just to save his friends, what a guy, sacrificing himself.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
But then again, he did sacrifice himself for the people in Bakersfield who died anyway.
Yeah. So he is, I don't want to say he's like Jesus or Aslan, but he is. He's basically Jesus and Aslan, but with muscles. There we go.
Yeah.
Pitch for a movie, Jesus with muscles. Hulk Hogan plays Jesus.
No, that's got to be someone like Batista these days.
Yeah. Front cover next issue of Charlie Hebdo. There we go. So
too soon, John.
No. So Amber. She's back in her flat, and she sees the news report that Arnie killed someone in the airport. And
no, they live, but he shoots them at point blank range. And she knows that this is bollocks. And it got me thinking at the time: how did they think that this was going to fly?
Well, there's only one person and they can just shut people up, can't they, who disagree with them and make out that they're, I don't know.
There were a lot of people around.
Slappers in college and cheated at exams and, like they did. Completely discredited her. So then it kind of clicks with her then, doesn't it, that didn't happen. They're lying to us. These network guys are lying to us.
Yes.
Amber works at the network. We forgot to mention
that. She's a musician for the network. She writes jingles.
Yeah, so she writes. She's got synths and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. We get the start of The Running Man, and it is basically like a wrestling show.
Yeah.
Big kind of arena, filled with grannies. You got the bombastic kind of announcer.
You got the dancers.
You got expressive dancers doing, I don't know whether it was modern or jazz, but...
It wasn't jazz.
They were doing some
dance
good,
acting.
Good choreographed dances. I suppose, all dances are, aren't they? But, yeah, they were dancing in unison, all these ladies in their spandex gear. And the big, burly guys enter. What are they called? The Stalkers.
The Stalkers, but... One thing that I love as well is this bloke walks in and he's Ben Richards is caught appointed theatrical agent.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Just a court-appointed theatrical agent. That's just a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and this Damon Killian, he's a showman.
He's charming.
Is this the point where they show the former winners with
he mentions fabulous prizes that you can win?
Yeah. What was it?
You can have a trial by jury, a suspended sentence, or even a full pardon.
Amazing. So, yeah, the last three winners are, yeah, they're shown with...
And the only winners as well.
Yeah, with their floozies, with their ladies in... Are they in Hawaii? Are they?
I think you said Maui.
Maui. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's Hawaii.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. So the lead Arnie to the thing, and he signs his contract, and he gets a guy to turn round, and he signs on his back. And then he does the full stop very hard and basically stabs the guy in the back. I mean, who's this guy? He's just a poor attendant.
Agent.
Yeah,
he's just... court-appointed theatrical agent. He does sort of insult him, though, when he says, "Here, use my back, victim." I mean, it might be a bit like using the word victim as, like, here and after shall be referred to as victim. But still, it's a bit rude.
And at this point, they show the footage, and it's edited footage of the food riot, and it makes out that Arnie's the one who shut up all the people. Quite a clever bit of editing. So it's good.
Yeah.
Quite like that.
But I'm not convinced, because I've seen the opening of this film.
Yeah. Well, I did as well. So we know that it's wrong, but the people who are in the audience don't, and that's the point. You see, they don't like him. Because they realise that he's a bad guy.
And because he's called Ben.
And because he's called Ben Richards. Ben Richards. Honestly, I mean, we recently reviewed Suburban Commando. What's a better name for a protagonist? Shep Ramsey or Ben Richards?
It does have a manly ring, but it's the fact that he's called Ben. It's a wet name.
Benjamin.
Ben. I mean, he might as well have been called Peter.
Or Toby.
Or Toby.
Or Tim.
Or Tim Richards.
Tim Richards. Yeah. Sorry to all our listeners called Tim Toby. In fact, you know, I've got friends with some names like that, so...
You're not still friends with Tim, are you?
I've not spoken to him. Anyway, yeah, bloody hell. Arnie's revealed to be wearing a very...
Revealing.
Very tight and revealing, yellowy... What colour would you... Mustard. Is it mustard?
I'd say mustard with a hint... Well, it's got, like, a blue tone to it as well.
Yeah, so he's becat-suited.
Yes.
And, yeah, it's... Ugh. Yeah, it's just a bit too tight for my liking.
By Adidas as well.
I noticed there was a lot of advertising in this. I noticed there was, like, Castrol GTX adverts.
Yes, I noticed that as well.
I thought that was quite interesting. Like, why would you want to be associated? Maybe that was the oil that was thrown later on at the guy. I don't know. Cut back to Amber. Remember, she works at the network. So she's sneaking around and happens to come across the raw footage of Arnie's helicopter thing.
Which you later find out she's hiding in her fanny.
Well, it's
alluded to.
It's alluded. It's just lewd, isn't it? It's...
That's vagina to any American listeners, by the way.
No, either way.
Either way.
Yeah, it's hinted that it's in an orifice.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's going to be...
It's either in her fangy or her fangy.
Oh, this podcast just gone off a cliff. So, yeah, so she feels bad. The scene cuts and his hand goes on her shoulder.
Did we ever mention, actually, the great nickname that Ben has?
No.
The Butcher of Bakers.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant. That's a wrestler name in itself. But, yeah, sorry, before I rudely interrupted, Amber is caught in the act.
Yes. But by whom? We don't know.
By whom?
They go into this, basically, a bit of a holding room, I suppose, before they get shut down these tubes. And who's there? Who else is a contender in this? What are the other running men?
Well, apparently it is usually just... It can be a group of one to three, usually, from what I can guess. And they had Harold Weiss and William Laughlin, otherwise known as his two weedy sidekicks.
Yeah.
Actually...
Arnie was double-crossed.
He was double-crossed.
Damn it.
The black fella's not all that weedy, though. He was a Bond villain at one point, so he can't be weedy.
Yeah. So they basically get strapped into these... roller coaster things.
beyond roller coaster. They're jet powered.
Yeah. Well, I mean, fun, but whatever. this is where
Arnie, send down tubes very fast.
Yeah. Arnie utters the immortal line, "I'll be back."
But then there's a retort to that.
There is.
"Only in a rerun," says Killian.
Yeah.
You don't retort that line.
Yeah, that's Arnie's line.
There is a moment of awkwardness when he says that, though. It's just sort of a, only in a rerun.
Yeah.
Just a good pause like that.
So, yeah, so they introduce the first stalker.
Yes.
Sub-Zero.
Sub-Zero, a retired wrestler, Professor Tanaka. So, two wrestlers who have acted.
So
he was in the WWF and had several matches against Bruno Sammartino.
Why, Colin, it sounds like you've been on Wikipedia. Have you been doing research?
I know. Well,
you know what I feel about research in this podcast, damn it. I don't want to have this again. This
same way as Pete Townsend.
No. God's sake. Well, if that's what you're doing, I still don't want it in my on my podcast. Thank you very much. I don't want it anywhere near this podcast. What is it? So the runners have been shot down this tube. They land in a net with a crash. And then suddenly the cage is shut around them. And this Sub-Zero guy bursts through.
It's like an ice hockey arena, isn't it?
Yeah. So he's
skating with a very sharp ice hockey stick.
Yeah.
Come scythe.
Yeah. And what are they called? Exploding pucks.
Yes.
Brilliant. I don't know, like when I first saw it, I just thought, why is he on ice skates? I just thought that was a bit silly.
It makes him move quicker.
Yeah, it does.
Gives him better traction on ice.
Because I didn't realise at that point that it was slippy, because nobody else was like, oh, it's slippy. God, it's a bit slippy in it. You know, it's a bit cold, bit nippy.
Yeah, but they're not British.
It's a bit. Oh, these.
They're not obsessed with weather.
Yeah, these cat suits aren't as warm as I'd like.
They don't go run into the window when they see three snowflakes.
Yeah, no, that's it. It's like, well, you know, you're either going to blame the steroids or the cold, aren't you, Arnie? Yeah. they have a bit of a fight around. This guy's skating around and trying to kill people.
Yeah.
So Arnie pulls up a bit of barbed wire
on a stick,
and it gets wrapped round Sub-Zero's neck.
Yep, chokes him and sort of cuts his throat at the same time.
Yeah, so he garrots him and
he's quite dead.
Yeah,
the stalker has been stalked.
I'll give you this one. What was on his line?
It was, "Hey Killian, here is Sub-Zero, now plain Zero." But then there's another line. "He was a pain in the neck."
Yeah, that one comes later. But yeah. That was the line, plain Zero.
But one thing I love about this scene is the sheer shock and horror when this stalker dies. It's incredible. It seems like it had never happened before.
Well, maybe it hasn't.
Well, I don't think it had. But that's the thing. This crowd, they're used to seeing people die on a weekly basis. But no, you turn the tables, the boot's on the other foot, they don't like it up them.
Yeah, so it's basically a bit like in wrestling, where they have just a truly diabolical moment.
Well, it's a bit like, how dare you defend yourself against this man trying to kill you?
And it's when the announcers are like, they start talking in, you know, serious tones, and, you know, we're thinking of the family, you know. It's almost like a bit...
Switching gears, you can get the network from it, 99.
And you can see full footage on the app. Yeah. And it's trending on Twitter. Yeah. So, Sub-Zero's death. Hashtag grief.
I hate Monday Night Raw.
As I say, I've not watched it in months now. Just, it's at NXT for me. That's all I need. So, but I mean, it's, you know, it's Mania season now, so that's good. Maybe it'll start picking up, hopefully. Sub-Zero's dead. They introduce the next stalker. But wait, it's two stalkers.
That's because this meek man can't make up his mind, because they do a come on down sort of thing.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Come on down, have some prizes, pick a stalker.
Yeah, so and he's like, oh, well, Buzzsaw's great and Dynamo's great, I don't know. It's like, well, we can have them both.
Oh, and the guy's absolutely stunned and amazed at this generosity.
He's so pleased.
He's so happy.
Yeah, well, it's great, isn't it? I mean, it's like, which one do you go for? Do you go for the guy with the chainsaw for a hand, or do you go for the guy who can fire electricity? Which one, Colin? Which one?
Which one would you go for?
I don't know. Oh, can I have both? Yay!
Yeah, why not? And you can have the prizes anyway.
So, and
one of the prizes is the Running Man board game.
Yeah.
Well, despite the fact that I'm 34 now, I watched this film when I was about 10.
Mm.
And I always wanted to play that board game when it came out. And I had no concept of the fact that it wasn't real.
Yeah.
I wanted that board game to be real.
So is this a bit like when you went on Countdown because you really wanted the teapot?
Don't remind me of that. I didn't get the teapot.
Oh, well. So, yeah, so this is where we find out that Amber's been caught. And she gets becat-suited as well. And
it's your favourite scene.
What, the dynamo coming out and doing opera? That's next. That's brilliant. I don't know why. His gimmick is he can shoot electricity and he's an opera singer.
Just to make our podcast make sense, he was also a wrestler, an amateur collegiate type wrestler.
That's not wrestling, is it? That's the fake stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, so Amber's a contestant. She gets shot into the...
A woman contestant.
I know.
It does make me wonder, though, at this point, how many women they have had on this programme. Is she the first half? I mean, I don't think so, because they had the... She had a sort of low-cut cat suit, so I'd imagine that they've had quite a few, because if they've got this outfit especially ready for her...
Yeah, it wasn't the same cut as Arnie's.
No, you could see a hint of chest.
This is interesting, because she's, you know, very resentful, says it's all lies, and they discredit her. So bear in mind...
Things that she's accused of.
Bear in mind that the Arnold Schwarzenegger character is accused of massacring possibly, you know, 100 or so people and killing someone at an airport, shooting them at point-blank range. Her crime seemed to be she cheated on exams. She had sex with 3 different people in a year.
Ooh.
Yeah. What a horrible, horrible person.
Mm.
She deserves to get sent to her certain death, doesn't she?
Terrible.
Just
she's flouted traditional morality.
Yeah. That was one of the lines, wasn't it?
That's one of her lines. By that great announcer.
Yeah. If you flout traditional morality, that's what happens. So, learn that lesson, ladies.
Yes.
All 3 of you listening.
Is that my wife, your wife, and someone else?
Oh, sorry. All 2. No, they don't listen. I don't know. I like to think we have a large female audience of
my wife
women.
Is 5'2". She's not large.
But of women maybe in the mid to late 60s who just enjoy our tones. Just like to have it on in the background, you know, for company.
Well, we'll do something with Adrian Street in the future then.
Ah, there we go. Oh, what, like the, what was it, the erotic Hercules or something? What was it with?
The Canterbury Tales.
That was it, the erotic Canterbury Tales. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how the Pilgrim's Tale's going to work. It's Google, if you've not seen it, the picture of Adrian Street in a coal mine. It's possibly one of the greatest photographs ever.
Of anything.
Yeah. I think we should put it up on the Twitter, actually.
We'll put that on the Twitter later. I'm going to do that. That's my homework tonight.
There we go. Because that is... it. Like, not just in wrestling. It's just the best photo ever taken.
And it'll make you, any wrestling fans out there, feel a bit more... a bit more... Oh, so that's where Goldust got it from.
Yeah, well, I don't know, it was this, yeah, well, I could go on about that photo all day, it's just brilliant, perfect, perfect photograph. Where have we gone?
Amber, she's found her way in the game zone now.
Ah, there we go.
Schwarzenegger was about to smack her, then he realised it wasn't a stalker.
Yeah.
But then the two nerdy blokes, well, the two rebels, shall we say, they've realised that there's a satellite dish that's pointing into the zone rather than upwards.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, they've realised that there's something that they can do with that. Instead of trying to get free, they set about doing that.
Yeah, they realise that the network is being broadcast from within the zone.
Yes.
So that's why they've not been able to find it before, the rebels.
Good hiding place.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, it wasn't, because if you let those two geeks in, then they'll work it out. And
yeah, but how often did they let two geeks in?
Well, there we go. I don't know. Well, this is the only...
It's their one weakness. It's like that little hole in the Death Star.
Yeah, or like Achilles and his heel. I don't know what they call it. It's his Achilles something or other.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you think that Achilles heel, people went to him, oh, what about, what's your Achilles heel, Achilles? And he'd be like, oh, shut up. Shut up, just because my name's Achilles. And it is his heel. There's the irony. Do you reckon that happened?
I thought his Achilles heel was in his hair.
No, that was Samson. Samson's hair was his Achilles heel. Well, I don't know why you get your power from your hair, but mind you, I've seen some Tanahashi matches, and my God, that guy's hair is beautiful.
Ever since Daniel Bryan started growing his hair and beard.
Oh, and he has it in like a top knot.
Ugh.
Oh, that's brilliant.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
But ever since he started growing his hair and beard, he's become the man. Anyway, we've digressed.
We've gone on a bit of a tangent.
Enter the two stalkers.
Yeah. Buzzsaw, he's on a motorbike, and Dynamo, he's got a...
Sorry, it's Buzzsaw Eddie Bukowski or something like that. I just love the fact that he has a name like Buzzsaw Eddie Bukowski.
And, yeah, Dynamo, who's on his...
It's in a little one-seat car thing.
Yeah, it's a bit like, what's it called, off one of those cars at the end of Takeshi's Castle.
The Dinky Dodgems.
Yeah.
I think that's what Craig Charles calls them.
So they get chased around a bit by Buzzsaw. The runners. Is that what we're calling them?
Yeah, the runners. They're the runners.
Yeah.
The runners and the stalkers.
They kind of scramble down this kind of embankment, don't they? And they find the actual network link.
They find it. There's this hexagonal code thing with keys that have got weird symbols on them.
Yeah. Yeah, and it cuts back to Arnie in the arena, and Buzzsaw's riding around him on the motorbike. And he's trying to hit him with a chainsaw.
At this point, there's the Lachlan, the black fella, who pushes Arnie out of the way because Buzzsaw's on his motorbike and he swings a chainsaw.
Yeah.
And Arnie doesn't get hit because he gets chivalrously pushed out the way.
Yeah.
And then he takes the hit, with a nasty hit with the buzzsaw.
But then Arnie gets kind of lassoed, doesn't he?
He does. And dragged around on motorbike.
Which, at this point, I thought, whatever material that catsuit's made out of...
It's pretty good.
It's very resistant. You know, if you were to drag around in your spandex catsuit on the road, that'd rip. It'd rip so quickly. But Arnie's, it's fine.
Well, you know, it's probably the same material that they used to make Concorde or something.
Really?
So it'll catch fire.
Yeah. We get in them working out the hexagon code, and this guy, who's apparently some kind of mathematical genius, needs to tell Amber the numbers.
I think he was a teacher before getting sent down. I think he must have been sent down for something like subversion or something like that.
Of course.
But long story short, he extracts the code, gives it to Amber, and then Dynamo zaps him.
Yeah. And Buzzsaw...
He dies an electrocuted death.
Yeah. Buzzsaw gets crotched.
No, well, he gets pulled off his bike at one point, so Schwarzenegger walks along to him, but he's playing opossum. And then there's a struggle, and at that point he gets crotched, but there's a line.
It's not yet. Stop spoiling the lines. The lines don't come straight away. You have to let the scenes play out.
It's while they're fighting. So it's before he gets crotched.
Oh, what's this line then?
It's Buzzsaw says to Arnie, I love this saw. This saw's part of me. I'm going to make it part of you. So then Arnie, they're struggling with the buzzsaw, puts it just below his crotch and says, that's all right. Keep it, and shoves it right up.
Okay, that was...
And then as he's screaming in pain, his scream gets all castrato singery.
That's when we get the...
Ow?
What is it?
Is that what you'd say there?
Yeah.
Ouch?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Probably the most unpleasant part of the film.
This is where we get Dynamo, it's now his stuff, and the Valkyries is playing.
And he's singing along to it.
What happens to him? He gets zapped, doesn't he? He zaps himself.
No, he has a crash.
He crashes his Takeshi-mobile.
He does, because Arnold Schwarzenegger he gets in his head and makes him drive badly, and he flips over.
He flips over and he's like, "Cut, go to commercial, go to commercial." And you think, is Dynamo done? Arnie's going to kill him, but then he can't. He holds off.
I suppose he could, but he just chooses not to.
Yeah, he's better than that.
He's better than that because he won't kill a worthless human being.
He says that sadistic...
Not even sadistic scum like
that was
you.
It. That was it, yeah.
Helpless human being, sorry.
And then this is where Amber goes, oh, what happened to Buzzsaw? He had to split.
Brilliant.
Oh, man. These lines, they're just... I don't know. This guy was... he was a real person, apparently. He had to split. Yeah. This is where all the stalkers have been taken out in some way.
They have, but one thing I'd like to mention at this point as well is it cuts to the audience who are really outraged at Arnie for not killing Dynamo as well. They seem, they're actually booing in the audience. And Killian, for the first time, has lost the crowd. He tries to, off camera, offer Arnie a deal to become a stalker.
He turns it down. So they bring out another stalker, and this guy is called Fireball.
Why is he called Fireball?
I don't know. He's got a jetpack. Maybe it's to do with that.
Okay.
He's also got a flamethrower.
Ah, yeah. Okay. So why is he called Fireball?
I don't know. So yeah, so Fireball jetpacks into the arena, and
there's a line.
Is there a line?
Yeah,
what's the line?
She says, "Jesus Christ," and then he says, "Guess again."
His tenure in this is quite short, to be honest. They kind of fight around. He flames a few things.
Yeah. They get separated, but she makes a very significant discovery.
Yes. She discovers the former winners.
Last season's winners, or as he says, no, last season's losers.
Did he have that accent?
Yeah, it's some sort of weird. I think he sounded like maybe some sort of African accent.
Right. Yeah, so Arnie starts throwing oil barrels at this guy.
Yeah.
Keeps throwing them.
Knocks him over, pulls his fuel thing out, knocks him over. Then there's a distress flare, fires it at him and he explodes to death.
Do you remember the line? You've just had this man exploding in a ball of flame.
No, I forgot that line. What was it?
What a hothead.
Oh, yeah.
And this is where we get Jesse Ventura. He's been watching this. The former Captain Freeman.
He's having a drink and taking some pills. Jack, it's something like heart pills or something.
I don't know. But
I think it's something innocent, but showing that he's a man who needs to take medication.
Yeah, and I don't know. His demeanour. Is that he's kind of getting a bit disillusioned with this.
He's looking more and more jaded every time you see him. And then as he's taken these pills, you see him looking at this poster of himself. Looks like, as a wrestler, he's got a belt on and everything.
Yeah. And now he's just this guy with a moustache and a dodgy jacket.
But he was one of those people who... a retired stalker.
Yeah.
So he used to do that job.
There's a great line here. Where Arnie says, let's find the secret broadcast centre, if it even exists.
Yeah.
So he's got doubts, that's good. Because this is a thing, they've been doing all this stuff and you think, well, there's a bit of a theory that this secret network is based here, but we don't really know. I'm glad that he kind of highlights those doubts and he's working with them.
But it's good that he's honouring his his dying friend's last request, because he was saying, take her and the code to Mick in the broadcast centre.
Yeah.
So he's a man of honour.
Talking about paying tribute to fallen friends, this is a bit where we get a beautiful expressive dance about the dead stalkers.
I'd say it's a dance of lament.
Yeah, so you've got these, as I say, the 80s ladies in their spandex doing their mournful dance. And
the man with the voice is sort of saying stuff like... Buzzsaw, Sub-Zero, Fireball, as patriots they died.
American heroes. Yeah, so good. And then, we've got Captain Freedom in his gear. He's being summoned to wardrobe to become a stalker again.
Yeah, and he turns up with this clinking, clanking cacophony.
Yeah, just a weird suit of armour.
I want to know what all that stuff would have done.
No, I don't know. But he was saying, you know, all these weapons.
He had like a number panel on his chest.
Well, of course. so he was annoyed that, you know, all these people had got chainsaws and you know, flamethrowers.
He just wanted to go out and have a fist fight with him.
Yeah, and we have this essentially a stunt double for Amber and Arnie, who are their faces are kind of computer generated.
Yeah.
And they show the footage of Captain Freedom beating the crap out of him, impaling Arnie on spikes and killing the woman.
Breaking her neck and throwing her on some barbed wire.
Yeah, so you think, yay, they're dead, and then that's the end of the show.
But then, at this point, rewind a little bit, they've actually made it into the broadcast centre, having been trapped by some sort of weird barrier things.
Yeah, so they
so
can't
Mick
get
Fleetwood
out.
And Dweezil Zappa.
Yeah.
I think I might change my name.
What, to Mick Fleetwood?
Yeah. And Dweezil Zappa have captured them and taken them into the broadcast centre and sort of briefed them. And then they see themselves get killed, and Aang is very peeved by this. She thinks, oh, that's great, we're free now.
Yeah, but then he's like, no.
He sees the big picture.
And this is when he decides he's going to lead the rebellion.
Yeah.
So, from earlier on, when he's saying he's not political, he's become political.
Well, of course, because this time it's personal.
Yeah. And there's a Star Trek joke.
Yes.
At this point.
Well, it's when it's a bit later on, but it's when they're getting everyone ready, and Mick the Fleetwood Man is giving out some instructions to this man. He says, Mr. Spock, you have the con. And then this man says, who's Mr. Spock?
It's funny, I think.
Probably.
Yeah. This is where Amber comes in, and she's got the real film, the raw footage.
Yeah, because basically Mick Fleetwood was just going to go on the air and give a speech, which I'd like to have seen.
Yeah, would have been all right, but instead the show... What did the show...
It was this big Cornish man giving a speech about how people are lying to you. All right, okay, well, I believe you.
Yeah, but instead they show the footage of Arnie, the
not
real footage.
Killing everyone.
Yeah. So they show the three dead runners as well, and an old lady in the crowd goes, this is bullshit!
Yeah.
And then Arnie goes, it's showtime! And then there's lots of shooting, there's machine gun fire coming from all directions.
Dweezil Zappa gets a line as well, wanders into the director's box, and when they're trying to get a new satellite feed, he bursts in with his machine gun and says, don't touch that dial! And the only thing that was missing there was the word, dude. There's also the bit where you see Amber in the corridors, and she meets...
She meets Dynamo. And what does she call him? She calls him a dickless moron.
Yeah, he says...
With a battery up his arse.
You thought it was pretty funny out there in the zone. Why aren't you laughing now? So she says, because there's nothing funny about a dickless moron with a battery up his ass. And I disagree. Yeah. I think that's hilarious.
Yeah, but then he gets a bit rapey because he goes, I'll show you dickless.
And he's got his shorts down and he's on top of her.
Yes. But luckily...
She reaches her machine gun, shoots a fire sprinkler thing, and it zaps him. But not her.
Yeah. But she's wearing the electric-proof catsuit, maybe?
No, I think she took that off.
Yeah, oh, I don't know. She's electric-proof.
On this big shootout thing, though, it's worth mentioning as well that Arnie and Chums were trying to get all the people out the way, whereas the soldiers were just indiscriminately shooting at anything that moved. It's there to highlight the difference between the goodies and the baddies.
Yeah. So then we get the final showdown between the one-on-one, face-to-face between Damon, Killian and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Ben Richards.
And Arnie comes out and he goes... Hello, cutie pie.
That's what Damon says to him when he's got him captive in that office earlier.
This is where Damon gives his big speech. And this is where the satire becomes quite clear. Just in case you didn't get it before. This is where it comes in and he's like, Americans love television. They love game shows and wrestling. We're just giving the audience what they want.
This is him trying to plead for his life, basically.
And he's doing a great job. I was convinced.
Yeah, I was as well. Yeah, I could perfectly see his point of view from there.
So did Arnie, and he went, "No, that's fair enough, I agree."
And then they shook hands, walked off, and that was...
Yeah. So this director's got Damon basically gets strapped in to the
jet-powered chair thing sent down the tube. When the rungers were sent down, they hit this heavy net and get severe whiplash. But that netting wasn't there to stop them. So he flies into a poster of himself advertising cola and hits his own head and then explodes.
And it explodes. And Arnie goes, "Well, that hit the spot."
Amber pops out, they have a smooch, and then there's the terrible theme music.
And the credits do roll.
Good God, that's a great film. I think this film has been our treat to ourselves, knowing that we don't just have to watch shit every time.
Well, you know, it's kind of, I don't want to have to watch rubbish every time. This is a thing, it just happens that, you know, I'll get a recommendation, or you'll have to watch Mick Foley in Boy Meets World. Oh, okay, thanks, whoever it was on the Wrestling Observer board for that suggestion. So you know, we get these recommendations and we go with them, we watch them. But yeah, this one was a treat for this one was for us, wasn't it?
It was. I feel like we should have had more gin and some cigars.
Well, you know, the night is but young.
But we've both got work tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, it's obvious. I really enjoyed this film.
It was great. I love this film.
It was a lot of fun. It was... I mean, if you're going in there wanting a serious film or, you know, something that is deep and meaningful, you're not going to get it.
That's Total Recall.
Yeah. But this, it was great. It was just a lot of fun and a lot of daft violence, a lot of daft one-liners.
Yeah. And it was... It was pretty good with its satirical edge as well.
Yeah, the satire was there, but it wasn't very subtle, was it? It was just like TV bad, economy. Having faith in TV and the economy will make us all die. So
it's a bit like, you know, RoboCop. It's very much the same. There's blood everywhere, but a satirical edge.
Yeah, yeah. So there we go.
Shall we watch it again and review it again?
Anything you want to add, Colin?
No. Why would...
You happy?
I'm delighted for a change.
Lovely stuff. Well, next time we've got to watch something truly awful just to balance this one out. So, there we go. Right. Plugs. We're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we're on Blueberry and Audioboom. Find it, download it. We've got a YouTube channel, which is When Wrestlers Act. We're on the Twitter... WWA podcast, and of course we've got the wonderful website whenwrestlersact.com. We've been trolling wrestling fans, winding people up on Twitter and getting politicians to name their favourite films starring wrestlers. Still waiting for an answer, Boris. Yeah, I think that's some kind of satire there. I don't know. Yeah, Boris Johnson not answering my questions, been there before.
I think you should direct people to that video because it's funny.
It's not funny.
It's hilarious.
I do not. I don't mind being on audio. I did not know I was going to be on that video. So there we go.
I just meant of Boris's buffoonery.
Yeah. Well, it was also me just swigging coffee during an interview
with the future prime minister.
Yeah. So I mean that one will be one for the archives anyway. So, but anyway, I digress. Right. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you.
And go and watch The Running Man.
Yeah, go and watch it. It's good. Bye-bye.
Bye.